And
Okay.
we are live. So welcome to actually episode two of Coffee House Chronicles. Last week's episode went down the tube, but we will try again in the second episode of Coffee House Chronicles. Welcome, Ritesh. I hope that it works. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Frank.
You're doing good, always doing
Yeah.
good. Yeah. Are there moments when you aren't doing good?
If you some working days in the evening, I can say I'm tired or something like that. The day was not good, but generally I don't have any problems or stress point. So generally I do good.
Well, I wonder how many
If
people will pay you to ask you for advice. You don't have any problems or any stress points. How do you manage that?
so. It's like you don't have to think much and give a lot of you don't have to look to other on others. See, most
Right.
of the time the stress and the problems get created when you start looking at others and you try to be like them. So I think like I should be whatever I have and whatever I'm doing. It's a good point. And for people like us who are working in the corporate environment, you see a lot of gossips happens in the office. So you don't have to be part of all those things. And your life is easy. You don't have to worry about and you don't have to think about a lot.
Ritesh, you have the potential to become a guru with that attitude, yeah. Okay, so well, let's add a little bit of artificial stress into people's lives, in by way of news, media, and being informed or maybe not being informed, because the format of the Coffee House Chronicles is for future people to talk about what is happening in their immediate surroundings, how it affects them personally, what they do, how they react to it, what they think about it, what's good, what's bad. And the idea is to where I want to start today is to explore a little bit, because in Bangalore or in India, you are in a peculiar situation, at least for everybody outside of India, that the country is so enormous, so diverse, that staying informed is probably an art in itself, because you just don't know where to start. And maybe for us living outside, looking at Indian media, Indian politics, and Indian sports and Indian life in general, the big question is, where do you start? So, Ritesh, how do you keep up with what's going on?
Okay, so it's all about the interest you have. You see the variety of things available here is different, too much. So people, first of all, like you can't follow one newspaper on one media house or channel, and you'll get all information about the situation or the things going on in the country. So if you look at our demographic, like so it's a kind of continent. India is like a continent. You will find different people, different languages, and different problems with them. So for getting all things, like if you want to know about the South Indian, what is going in South Indian, you have to follow some of the local newspapers and we have a English newspaper which is mainly focused on South India. Some are the big newspapers which are dominating in the industry and they give news all over India. But if you look at their papers, they have, I don't know, it is a case of everywhere, but they have some pages which is dedicated to that part of the country. And you get the local news in that pages. So yeah. So some of the problems you face in the south and the problems going on in the this part of the country, people are not generally keen to know about in the other parts of the country. So if you see that some of like years back there was a big flood in Chennai and Bangalore, but people are not keen to know about what is going on in this area and how many people died and what happened and what is the problem, who is not solving these problems in north and some part of the north, like especially in the what you call it, east part of the country, northeast I can say. And
Okay.
similarly that something is happening in northeast, people are generally not conscious about their problems, situations in the south. And sometimes the people who are politically aware of the situations, they can talk about this, but generally people are not interested in all those things. So now it's coming on the what is by like the language they are speaking is different, the content they get is different, the situation, the problems is different for the people. Some part of the country is not too much attached with those part of the country and they don't think too much about them
Okay.
as a general level or at the people's level. We can't say at the political level because they can say that we are aware and all the things. So what is binding us together, like some of the things like cricket matches, they comes together and they discuss all the things. But still then cricket also we see the regional, there's a teams which is based on the regions. Some people like Bangalore has a team, Chennai has a team, Delhi has a team, Kolkata, Mumbai has a team. So there is a fan base for those teams and they fight for that. So what people are busy with themselves and they look for the local newspapers, they read newspapers. But now I see that because of the social media, especially the Twitter and Facebook, has created a lot of avenue to people are aware of the certain things which is going in the other parts of the country, and generally they use those news for mocking other people. See, everywhere they say that we are growing, they say that we are better than some part of the country, especially in the terms of education, financial situations, development. So they say that there's a lot of divide,
okay,
there is a lot of points to connect. They get connected, but there's a lot of divide also, and they think about regional. I think I spoke with you. There's a regional pride in our country. They think they feel proud about their language, their region, their state. And so coming out the news, how people get it depends on your choices. And some of the news channels I see, not news channels, news portals, which have done very innovating things. Like you don't have to read full article to know about the news, because most of the time what you see that a lot of garbage in the news. They, for sake of making a news, they will create a lot of big one pages news or big news, news. But some of the news portal I see that they will give headlines, they give the summary, and you are happy with the news. You are informed, and that is fine. I don't use, but some of the people, colleagues, I see that they use those news portals and they read a lot.
But in your particular situation, in your personal situation, how do you deal with it? Because you are originally from the north, and your work has taken you to the south. So do you try personally to balance news from your home region, or do you now say, well, I live in the south, I live in Bangalore, so what's happening at home is no longer relevant or important to me, and what I get, what I need to know, my friends will tell me through any other channel that I use, social media or whichever. So how do you personally deal with this two city, two area situation when it comes to finding out what's happening?
Yeah. So for me, especially I don't watch news channels. I want to give you a little bit background in Indian channels. Like we have regional, I told you that we have a lot of languages. As officially we have 22 languages, but some of the languages they are demanding that it should be added into some called seventh schedule or something like that. There is a part where they get official recognition from the government that and some of the things they will do. Like we have an exam called a NEET. It's for the admission in the MBBS course, medical. And the course is held in 22 languages. And it is a very big challenge. You know that doctor is not going to study in local languages, but for sake of giving this pride in the local, because it is officially recognized by the government, then they have to make the paper. Because you don't want to discriminate people based on the language they know. This is the concept. Because of that, this is done. Similarly, the news channels are based on the region, regional region. So for the because of this divide, they have focused in certain area. And our capital is based on the north, and you will find very less about south. They are talking in the main media or mainstream media. So long back, I stopped watching news channels. For me, getting information is through the Twitter or YouTube, and I directly go and search on the Google, and you can find newspapers and read it. I don't follow a single newspaper because newspapers are there is a saying going on. They have coined the term lap media. You can translate in directly in Hindi, English is lap media, Godi media we call it. So what they do, they generally give information, or they give news related to the political party they fund, and especially the government which is in power, be it in a state level or the center level. So I don't watch those news channels, and I don't have an interest in watching the news channels because they repeat same news. Then for me, I read Twitter. Twitter is also very biased because you whoever is you are following, you'll get their news, and there's a lot of content. And you can't process through your mind. So what you do, you follow some of the people who are genuinely giving information about the news, and you just look at the some articles. And if I want to look for the what is going on, I don't care about the local things, what is going on at the city level, what is going in my city and all the things. I look at the broader picture, what is going in the state level, central level, and read those news. And I don't worry about this, what is happening in Bangalore. But certain things you get to know about from your colleagues, they start talking about, they start discussing about. I will give you one incident. Like recently what happened that people in Bangalore, what they started doing that the language is different. Not is it is official language is something different. We call it Kannada. And the people, all the shops, they had banners in English. And the people from the like they have a group, they want to promote their language. They started ventilating, okay, what you call it, vandalizing their shops. They started breaking their signboards that you are not putting the local languages and all.
Good grief.
So living in apartment and going office and coming back to room, I was not aware, but one of my colleague, he was started discussing, and what he told that that day it was Band. Means what you call Band is in India it's lot it's many time it happens that some of the organization they will call it Band is Lati, like was stopping all the vehicle, they can't go, government public traffic is closed
Was
because
it
of this protest.
was yeah it was blocked yeah it was
Yeah.
It was banned, yeah.
Yeah. And that time one guy is coming by scooter or his bike to office, and they started beating him. And because when they stopped, he was speaking in some other language, and they said that this guy is living here for so many years, he don't know the local language. They started beating him, and then there was a lot of big news, but I was not aware. Then he told me, and they said that don't go out, and if you go, be like this. And then so some of the news which is affecting our life, which don't comes in the local media or main media also, because they don't want to destroy their reputation. This being Bangalore is a place where all the tech industry is here. There's no discrimination, there is no violence or something like that. It was not showing in the media, but people, they informed that this is happening. So some of the news you get from the your circle, but most of the time I'm not very keen about knowing the local issues and issues going in my hometown. I look at the broader pictures, and there are some avenues where I can find the details.
How do you or other Indians feel about the foreign perception of India? And there is actually a concrete example, and I'll explain it to you. So I subscribe to the New York Times. And there I saw, I didn't actually read it, but I saw an article about the freshwater situation in Bangalore. It was quite a long article. And the gist of it, as much as I sort of gleaned over it, was that the city, the state, the government, whoever is investing a lot in upgrading the water system in Bangalore, but it is nowhere near a perfect solution. And then there were some pictures, and the question that I have is, how should a person who does not live in India but wants to talk about this subject to understand it more, approach a sensitive discussion like this because of the differences in infrastructure, the differences in daily life situations, possibilities? And does a newspaper like the New York Times, which, has an excellent reputation, do they focus on one particular problem because it at the end of the day, it sells copies, it sells advertising, but they distort the bigger picture. So what advice can you give to somebody who wants to understand India through the media, even though it might actually be contaminated? And this person doesn't want to tread on anybody's toes. He just wants to have a natural, inquisitive discussion. How do we approach this?
There's a lot of problems in our country, I know. But what we generally see that media, foreign medias, they only focus on the problems we have. Their approach is to show the negativity. And because of that, whenever a party ruling in the country, they always see the foreign media as their adversary, because they bring a lot of negativity. And the opposition always say that it's true, they are doing their good job, because our media, the current Indian media, they are not showing our problems. They are not giving the space to the opposition leaders, the people, to show the negativity or show the problems which is there in our country. They always try to bring good things to people. And this is the point of conflict within the opposition and the ruling government party, because whenever we have seen the tendency, because I was not politically aware 10 years back when I was graduate, when I started engineering, that time I was seeing that these peoples, we have a lot of problems, and the government is hiding. And that time the opposition was, the media was supporting opposition so much that there was a revolution in 2014 or 13-14. And people changed that government, because I was not aware. My parents were aware, or my father, I especially, they were aware of the situation because it was like that. So if you look at New York Times or any news media, foreign press, especially DW and France, French or France 24 or something like that.
Yeah.
And we have a Russian, what do you call the name? I'm forgetting. They have official.
There's the big one, CNN. In England, they have Sky News, and all these international outlets.
So every time you will read something about country, and something is happening in India, it's a negative only. And because of that, the people don't like, or government, they suppress those things. But what I see the recent thing, that they have started creating a video in local languages also, especially that DW News. They have, I don't know, this German news.
It's a German channel.
So they have a dedicated portal where they publish the news in Hindi, and people like them, because suppose I'm aware that this local media is not showing the correct picture of our country or situations, people go to those news media news portals and watch their content. They will not be too critical to the government, because they are working in the country, but they can show the pictures, especially these news, and you can see the BBC Hindi is also there. They have a lot of network in country. They go to the opposition party, they ask their opinions, at least their interviews. Because the right now the election is going on, you look at the channels and local news media or Indian news media, they are taking interviews from the ruling government party and their leaders and ministers, but they are not taking interview from the people who are in opposition. And even if they are taking the interviews of those opposition leaders, they are behaving like they are in the government and they are opposing them. And people are saying that their main job is to ask the government, make them responsible. They have not done. They promised something and they have not done. But if you look at them, especially those for press and media personality, they are questioning opposition, not the government. And this is the bad trend for our democracy or our country. Then coming to that, you talked about the New York Times, New York Times. Yes, right. So yes, we have water issue in Bangalore, and this was due to the, once again, the bad implementation. Like, you see that the Bangalore is suddenly boomed and there's a lot of development. What they did, they took all these lakes, they gave to the developers, they filled that lake and they made a big buildings. And because of that, there was a water crisis, because water is not going inside. So there is a river near to the Bangalore. We call it Kaveri River, and it is going to the Tamil Nadu. There's a next state, new state, different state. And there is a case going on Supreme Court that you can't stop all the water from the river, and you can't let the you can't stop water from going to the Tamil Nadu. So they are not there is no enough water to supply to the city. And you see a lot of apartments here in Bangalore. they don't have groundwater supply. They are dependent on the tanker water. So what happened that there is a government outlet and the certificate that you can take water or you can purify water and you can give to the tanker and that tanker goes to the apartments. So suppose it is a 16 or 17 story building. Every day you need hundreds of water. Hundred tankers of water. And because of that, see, there is a water. See, Bangalore is based, this is located on the top of on a mountain. And if you want groundwater, you have to drill up to 100,000 meters or feet, and then you get water. So this is a problem. But some of the peoples generally in India, they think that the foreign press is hostile toward us, and sometimes say that the people paid news are published in those news newspapers also. And this is a big concern. In India, see, if you are in USA, if you say lobbyist, it's a general term. You can say that they lobby and they get something done. But same thing in India, they see very bad in light. If you are doing something, it should be out of charity, not to taking something money and doing something. So because of that, but people are sometimes they especially brings a lot of our bad things which we have to take care, but yeah, but if you are not getting a space in local media, you will go and talk to foreign press and bring those issues, right? Especially if you look at we had this emergency during Indira Gandhi period. Everything was controlled. If you are a news editor, your office will have a policeman in your office and he will say that what you have to print. And there was a big news article, newspaper. What they did, they put the front page blank.
I mean,
And it
yes,
was
I've heard of those
officially,
sort of things.
yeah. And at that time, the BBC News and everything was very, very helpful. And people from the underground, they spoke and brought those issues to the globe that we are having a dictatorship and there is something. They didn't do anything out of unconstitutional. But it was something, and people are remember that is a black day in our history. And right now the situation is same thing, same, but it is more controlled. People they say that we don't have officially, but it is happening.
It seems almost an irony that I listen to the BBC World Service. That's probably my I'm not a TV person, I'm a radio person, and I think I would get most of my information of what's going on. If I'm not reading any newspapers, I will listen to the BBC World Service because it is relatively balanced in its outlook. But it seems a pity that if I want to learn more about India, I would have to listen to the Hindi service of the BBC. But of course, I don't understand Hindi. I would have to learn the language in order to appreciate what's going on in India from a different perspective, and not get the filtered version that the BBC English version, the main version, will then give to me. And because news items are competing for time and attention, I will only get a 30-second slot on the Indian elections, for example. And I get the usual message that India is the world's greatest democracy. The elections take place over a 6-week period with rolling processes that states will take it in turns to vote, or people in states will take it in turns to vote, et cetera, et cetera. And then the usual comment of the autocratic nature of the current government. And then the opinions about that. So you can really see how we are being pushed into a certain sense, into a certain direction in our foreign perception of the country, because we do not speak Hindi or any other of the 22 official languages, never mind the hundreds of unofficial languages that exist. So it's very, very difficult.
Yeah,
But
and Frank, whenever see, it's all about a perception, right? If you look at the current government, they are more focused on policing, or they are showing the shining picture of the country. And if you look at the foreign press or anywhere, if you look at their press conference, they try to portray that everything is going good. And people have a lot of question. You know that in India we have electronic voting machine, EBM we call it. So there is, in the last two elections, people are not satisfied with that system. They say that whatever, most of the people say that whatever people are selecting, it is not showing the will of the people. There's a lot of questioning. See, and they say that there is so many countries, especially that Germany, and they have banned this electronic voting machine. And they say that it can be manipulated. But if you look at our government stance, they say that it can't be done. It's like a calculator. If you press 2 and 2 plus 2, it will come 2. And there's a lot of things is going on. And these people, they gave that so many countries they banned EBM because it can be done. It is electronic and you can manipulate. So they say that let's consider that why you are considering that those people are advanced in technology than us, and we can't make better machines and like that. And okay, fine, everything is okay. Then what happened? The government, what they did, there was a rule that if you want to elect. It's a little bit politics, but it is a very, very big issue. If you want to elect election commissioner, so the person who is responsible for the elect conducting the election, and he has a constitutional mandate, and he cannot be affected by judiciary, neither by the government, and they have full power, everything. And it was a process that if you want to elect an election commissioner, there will be opposition leader in the central level, and then will be the prime minister, or we can say the leader of the party, the ruling party, and there will be Chief Justice of India. What this government did before this election, they have bent that rule, and they said that the one person is the law minister. Or home minister, yeah, home minister from the government, and then the prime minister, leader of ruling party. Prime minister is a leader of ruling party, and there will be a leader of opposition who is electing the selecting the election commissioner. Now think about the as a person who is not involved in Indian politics and anything, you don't have to do with anything. Fairness of the selection of the person who is going to conduct the election commission. The two person is from the ruling government who will they will select. They are going to select a impartial person. They are going to select the person who is going to help them.
Is this possible?
Yeah, this is possible. It is going to, because they want anyhow the politicians, they want to be in power. They will do anything to be in power. They can say that we have interest of the people, we have the interest of the country, but their main interest is to be in power so that they can do something for the country. And this was the big issue. The case went to the Supreme Court, and they said that they didn't strike that law, but they said that the person selected within the hours, within the day or one day or 2 day, how you can the leader of opposition can assess his credibility, his impartiality, and within 24 hours he was selected. Two persons are selected. Totally we have three election commissioners, and out of three, two are selected within one day. And the main concern is that we have model code of conduct, election model, MMC we call it. You can't ask vote based on the religion. You can't ask people vote based on the some you can't do hatred. You can't even before we have 7 phases of elections. So every phase before 2 days, you can't go and ask people to vote. You'll give 2 days cooling period that they can decide that whom they want to vote, and all those things. And the current government, current ruling party is breaking all the laws, and still the election commissioners are not doing anything. And there was a case that whole country, not especially whole country, we can say, the people who have sense of little bit about the elections and the political thought. They wrote so many letters, writings, and everything to election commissioner. They said that the prime minister is asking vote based on the release and all the things what they did, and he's violating the moral code of conduct. What the election commissioner they did, they didn't wrote a letter to that person that you are violating. You will be barred from conducting public rally. He wrote directly to the head of the political party that maintain the code of conduct and all those things. See the irony that, and they wrote to the opposition leader also that he maintain the code of conduct and everything. And in previously, we have seen that because of the violation of the code of conduct, one prime minister lost their power. And he was debarred from the conducting the con contesting the election for the 5 years. And we have seen a lot of cases, but see, this was the main case. And if there's a little bit impartiality was there in our local media or the mainstream media in India, they should have reported these issues or even the case. But they are not reporting all those things. People are not getting those information. And so, if it is not done in that, people will rely on the foreign press and say, but how many people are reading the foreign press in India? Because
In any country, how many people read different language newspapers? I mean, it's relatively easy to do that. You just find the website, and then you can bookmark it, you can read through it, and you can even break paywalls. I mean, that's technologically possible as well. The question that I have is it possible, or is India a polarized country, as extreme as, for example, the United States are, or as we heard a couple of days ago here in Europe, in Slovakia, where the leader of the government was victim of an almost assassination attempt. And you read about deep divisions in society affecting political and normal discourse, and that, for example, in Slovakia, it's almost taboo to talk about politics because you just don't know what's going to happen, which is a pity. So, a country as diverse and as complex as India, how polarized is it, and where are the lines? Where are the red lines? Where are the lines that people do not cross? Is it, first of all, on a religious level, the fact that you have the discussion between Hindus and Muslims, then you talk about party politics, and then you talk about anything else that comes into the equation. So, can you give me a picture of the polarized level of polarization in India?
Okay, so Frank, in these 10 years, the India has become too polarized based on the religious level. And people have forgotten their issues, their own issues, their problems, what is going on. And they think about the religious based. The politics is the current government. The main achievement was during the 2014 era when the different government was that they worked very hard to make people come to question government based on the corruptions going on. Corruptions. There was a lot of corruption. Not cor There was a corruption, sense of corruption, because the in the later state of the time, the all the government all the cases got focused, means there was no result of those cases, and they brought a sense of that the person or this party is going to do something for the country and everything. When they came in the power, their main focus was to create a religious division. And you know that in our country, 80% are Hindus, and rest 20% we can say they're Muslims, Christians, and Parsi. The the persons who came from the Iran, I'm forgetting their religion.
I'm from Iran,
We call it Parsi in India. And some are from the Israel and the Jews. People are there in country, and they are very wealthy. So their main focus was to create religious pride. First, they told that they did the victimization, that we are the victims of the lot of hundreds of years, thousands of years of conqueror, especially from the Middle East or Muslim conqueror. They destroyed a lot of temples. They took a lot of monies. Then there was a colony. Colonizer from the British, and they did a lot of things. They took our everything, and there was something who then took our religion, and people then got converted and all the things. This is the main talk during 5 years, from the 14 to 19. Then they did, and they won the election. There were so many things. And right now, if you look at the people, the person, they will say that I'm voting for him because he have done something for my religion, especially them built a temple. And it's too much divided. Previously, people are based on, we have a lot of differences between the caste. You know that there's a caste system, hierarchy system. And people used to fight based on those differences, and they used to say that we will going to bring equality in the country, and people are unequal. Right now, it's based on the religion. Still, you know that our country is, it's like a continent. So bringing people on one subject, it's very hard. But religion is something people will forget everything and they will vote for. So it's very, very divided. But the opposition is trying to bring people on their issues. There's employment. Suppose you have a child, or my brother is not getting a job. If he's preparing for exams for the 5 years, they are trying to say that there is a unemployment, there is a inflation, and there is a lot of corruption and all the things. But you know that the religion factor is more effective than the employment, inflation.
So we live in a period which is called post-factual information. So facts are no longer important because something that can be measured, that can be evaluated. It's more about emotions. It's more about feelings. It's more about imagery. A lot of content, but nothing substantial. Yeah, and that seems so. That would be a problem that you people have in India as well. Yeah, that you are moving towards this post-fact, or are in this post-factual era.
And Frank, if you will speak with any person who is living in out of India, they are in the sense of, if any person, like most of the person, I'm not saying all of them, but most of them are from the people who are from the top of the ladder. Okay. Anyhow, they were in the society and they have a lot of things, and their son and daughters, they went outside, and they will have, they are not ready to accept that we have problems, and this government is doing something better because we are having, you know that I last, when I spoke with you, I told you that they are saying that the people in the world have started recognizing us in this government. And they are feeling proud of that. And but they are not ready to accept that we have problems, and those problems are not solved. And this proud, or suppose someone say that ISRO is working very good, and they have capability to send a rocket to in the towards Mars or Moon, and so this is not a work of one day. This is
No.
work of 75 years or it, the work, then this moment is achieved, right? If the financial development is happening in India, it is not work of one day. It is not done in these 10 years. And suppose the momentum has gone up, but what is the divide of the country? And what is the difference? You know that 5% people or 10% of people are having more wealth than the bottom 50 or 40% of the people. And what government is doing for them? You know, in India, the government, current government is taking pride of that they are giving 5 kg of grains to 80 crores, means 80, 8 millions of people. 80 crores means 8, what do you call it? 80 millions of the people. And they are taking a pride. And previous government and previous people used to say, take pride that we are bringing 40 million people, we have brought them out of poverty line. They used to track take pride, but now they are taking pride of that we are giving 5 kg of grains. So these are the things, and there's a lot of propaganda, and it is easy here in India that the media is controlled, and they are publishing everything. Suppose one minister will say that same thing is running in all the media channels. If the prime minister is giving a speech, it will be running on all the media channels. But if the opposition leaders are giving the speech, they are not even the part of the headlines.
It's so it's media control, it's manipulation, it's something that we experience all over the world. It's not a pretty picture. You mentioned sort of we need to wrap up this, but I want to come back to something that you mentioned at the beginning. This some of the news that you get comes through Facebook and Twitter, or as it's now called, X, but I prefer Twitter. These social media channels in Europe have a pretty negative reputation, primarily because of privacy issues that both platforms do not respect privacy. They exploit the users to their own ends, etc., etc. What I want to throw into this discussion is that it's a very fine line, but everybody is responsible for what they post on these platforms, and if they post something, you have to expect that it's going to get used elsewhere. So the best way to deal with your privacy issues is to actually not post anything you don't want public. But that's a different story. But what are the reputations of Facebook and Twitter in India? And do you actually, like the Chinese, have your own internal social media platform which people trust more because they are Indian, they are homegrown?
Yes. So, see, the social media is definitely very, very bad for us, and you get something that you don't desire. And so, what the approach should be? It should be you don't have to spend a lot of times, and you have to follow to those people who have built a reputation. And I will give an example. One of the new channel in India, we have very less time. Okay, it's crossed. So he was an anchor, and he used to ask a lot of questions to the government. What this one of the friend of our government, they bought that new channel, and obviously that anchor has to resign. Then this anchor has no avenue. He don't. No one hired him. He started a new his YouTube, and people are satisfied with his the people who used to like his post or his videos or his news. Now they have millions of or 10 millions or more than 10 millions people in his news YouTube channels. He's earning and he's giving accurate news in reporting. So now. What see Social media, what it brought, that if you are not getting your avenue, suppose media is not talking, then you can go in social media and you can post. So we have to make sure that we have to look for those people who are really genuine and gives correct and good information. Then you have to do a little bit research, and if you want to follow, and you have to do things, because social media is very, very helpful. When everything is controlled by government, then what you can do? You can go and have your own opinion somewhere else, where this cannot be forced to. Even in country India, government has banned a lot of Twitter accounts. They have forced Twitter to ban some accounts. Even the tutor said that there is no rule or there is no violation of any rules to close that account, but they have done, because of government said that it should be banned. And if you want to work in India, you have to ban those accounts. See, so much pressure on the social media. And if this social media is the our own media, like our own country's social media, we have some social media which is grown in our own country, especially alternative of the Twitter, but they will not survive the pressure of the government.
Good grief.
But
Okay.
the Twitter or X can survive that. Even they are banning, then they are raising that they wrote a article that goes Indian government is saying to ban this post or this account because of they have some issues, but there's no issues from the Twitter or X. Same thing happening in Brazil also. But what we can say, there should be something degree of freedom. If they are from our own country, there will be not have a lot of guts to go against the government. But there is a
Interesting.
privacy issue.
Interesting. Okay, Ritesh, you've opened about 100 trillion can of worms here in this discussion. We could continue for hours, but the clock is ticking. So I appreciate your viewpoints, your comments, your insights here in this episode. And maybe next week, as a as by way of a teaser, you can sort of tell us a little bit about the typical stories that you are currently following that are interesting for you. If it's just cricket, then we'll talk about cricket. If it's other subjects that you are aware of that you are following, then it would be really good to hear about this and to give us a different picture, a more personal picture of what your India is like, and then we can see where we go from there. So, Ritesh, thank you for your time this morning. And we'll continue again next week.
And thank you, Frank, for listening, and we'll meet next week.
No problem.
Bye.